The day that lives in infamy. Pure devastation is what occurred on December 7, 1941. The Japanese had taken the United States by complete surprise when they attacked Pearl Harbor and killed nearly 2,400 Americans. How, just decades earlier, were Japan and the United States allies in World War I, but now on the brink of war? In this episode of the Chronicles of Time, we're going to discuss the events leading up to Pearl Harbor, the attack itself, and the aftermath. Once again, we have one Miss Summer Daniel joining us today on the show. But for now, let's dive into it. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to the Chronicles of Time. Let's discuss Pearl Harbor. Summer, thank you for joining us again on the show. I got so many compliments last week from everybody saying how pretty you sounded, so I thought I should ask you to come on again.
Well, thank you. I'm excited.
You're welcome. But today we're going to discuss Pearl Harbor, as you probably heard in the intro, and you may know a little bit about this from school, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more details than you probably learned then, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so let's jump into it. Like I said in the intro, during World War I, Japan and the United States were allies. But the years after, tensions began to grow between the two nations. Japan is a small island in East Asia, but was wanting to be one of the world's superpowers. There was one problem for them. They depended on international trade to keep its economy afloat. And Japan had practically no natural resources. All but 6% of its oil supply was imported, and 80% of it came from the United States. So to get more resources and become an empire, Japan invades China in 1931 and takes their resources. But this causes Western powers to have a summit. They agree to help China resist Japan's invasion, and by 1937, just 6 years later, China and Japan were in all-out war. Japan was doing absolutely horrific, unthinkable things to Chinese civilians. They were destroying the Chinese capital of Nanking, while also destroying the citizens on their path. During what became known as the Rape of Nanking, the Japanese soldiers raped at least 20,000 women and children, many who were killed and mutilated in the process. They slaughtered 150,000 male prisoners and another 50,000 male civilians. Soldiers would infest the city with sexual transmitted diseases, bury people alive, and use people as their target practice. Other nations were absolutely horrified. But the West began having problems of its own when the right-wing Nazis, led by dictator Adolf Hitler, started taking over country by country. And in 1940, Japan and Germany became allies. At this point, Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, was basically begging President Franklin D. Roosevelt to have the United States join with them to win the war. But 1940 was an election year in the United States, so FDR ensures the nation that they won't enter a foreign war. But let's be honest, it was easy for the United States due to it being thousands of miles away. Ignorance is bliss. If you're in Utah, who cares what's happening in Europe? Majority of Americans believed that the war had nothing to do with them, but only because it had yet to affect them. FDR does practically everything to avoid going to war. He provides supplies and aid, but is keeping a steady eye on Japan's moves. The United States typically kept its Pacific Fleet, which, to anybody who doesn't know what that is, because at first I didn't, I had to look it up. It literally is just the Navy ships and aircraft, but this is like what they call it altogether, is the Pacific Fleet. So it's usually kept in California, but FDR believed that by moving it to Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, that it would be a loaded gun against the Japanese. The Pacific Fleet was originally just training in Hawaii, and the admiral in charge of the Pacific Fleet did not agree with the location change.
But he wanted it there almost like a threat, right, is what you're saying?
Yeah, FDR.
Like, look at what we have, and it's like it's close to Japan.
It's, okay, yeah, there was no other Pacific Fleet even on that side.
Yeah.
So it's almost, FDR is kind of, it's almost a warning. Like, yeah. You know.
Like, I understand his reasoning.
But the admiral of the Pacific Fleet is like, no, I do not agree with this location change. Him and FDR exchanged some really, really harsh words. So what does FDR do? Cans him. He says, nope, you're removed from command. Because if you go against him, you're done. No, which I don't agree with, because you should listen to people below you. Because guess what? Some things may be avoided. So, he's removed from command, but it makes me wonder, like I just said, what would happen if FDR just happened to listen to his admiral? Just because he's below you doesn't mean that you shouldn't take his advice. Mm-hmm. And due to the alliance between Germany and Japan, which we need to remember, Germany's literally being led by Adolf Hitler, and the Holocaust is about to start, going on right now. And so this is just horrific for them to, it's like two enemies are joining forces.
Two villains.
Yeah, two villains. We have two villains here joining forces. So FDR imposes harsh sanctions on Japan. He suspends exports to them, which is a huge blow to their economy. But Roosevelt gives them a choice. Reverse all their expansionist actions to date, and he'll remove the embargo. So whatever they have, whatever land they've expanded on thus far, reverse that. Reverse it. Back it up, and he'll remove the embargo. You can have your oil, which 80% of it comes from the United States. Okay? So just do that. So now the Japanese can decide. Back down or fight back. And fight back they would. Japan was about to attack a country 10 times richer and more powerful than itself. This took an astonishing amount of military guts, and so much time and effort went into the attack. But the United States knew that Japan was gearing up for war, because Washington was intercepting and decoding messages indicating that fact. To make matters worse, the Japanese embassy were destroying documents and machines. Why would they do that? If you're so innocent, why are you...
It does look suspicious.
Yes. You know what I mean? Okay. The Japanese had been preparing to attack the United States for nearly a year. So it makes me beg the question, by moving the Pacific Fleet to Pearl Harbor, was it a warning or an invitation? I believe the latter.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Because I got to thinking, is this just making them...
It's almost like, well...
You're going to poke the bear how many times?
Well, yeah, and it's like they're already planning it, and you just made it easier.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. In no way am I sitting there saying this, should have happened. I'm just saying, but, he's...
Things could have happened to maybe make it not happen. But, okay, but also at the same time, if they have been planning it for a year, they were going to attack regardless.
Exactly.
So...
It's like, are they going to attack? And before it was at Pearl Harbor, it was at California. So it's like, are we going to attack California or Pearl Harbor? To them, it probably didn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's just a Navy base. So let's get back into it. Pearl Harbor was a United States naval base, and it was located near the center of the Pacific Ocean. It was 2,000 miles away from the United States mainland and 4,000 miles away from Japan. But the Japanese had one goal in the attack: cripple the Pacific Fleet. Get the Navy on their ass is what they wanted to do, pretty much. This ensures the United States can't fight back. On November 26, 1941, 16,000 men, 30 ships, and 408 airplanes departed from Japan. This was the largest gathering of naval air power at the time. Most of the Japanese sailors didn't even know where they were going. They knew they were going to go to war, but not the location. All radio communications were cut off. The only way the ships communicated was by men on each ship waving flags to one another to let them, to let them know the directions in which to go.
Wait, did you just say they didn't know where they were going, though?
Yeah, most of the Japanese soldiers did not know where they were going.
They didn't realize they were going to America.
Definitely weren't expecting America. And whenever there was a select few that did know, and they didn't think they'd be returning. Because what are the odds? You're going to attack a nation that is a powerhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just, you know what I mean? Like, no, it's, mm-mm. So what we're talking about right here, the entire journey was extremely risky. And at any point, if another ship were to see them, it could crumble the entire operation. The mission was a gamble with a 50% success rate. But they knew that. The Japanese knew that, and they did it anyways. The Japanese came prepared, though. They had many models of the United States warships, so they knew where to attack them from. And knowing that the harbor was only 40 to 50 feet deep, the Japanese even designed a new type of torpedo for the attack. There were 84,000 American servicemen on the island, and to be stationed there was a dream. Many of these boys were just a few years out of high school. And the Saturday night before the attack was like every other. A night on the town, drinking, having fun, dancing, and just living life. Just being, they definitely aren't thinking tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and... one of the scariest moments of my life is going to happen. But the next day would be a nightmare our country would never forget. The Japanese arrived on the island and began their surprise attack on December 7th at 7:48 in the morning. The day was very clear, which made it all the easier for the Japanese. At first sight, many civilians believed the incoming planes were just the naval base doing training, but the Navy knew this was no drill. Bullets and bombs rained down into vessels, and torpedoes were launched. Within minutes, everything was aflame. The Japanese would target battleships, and at 8:10 in the morning, a bomb was dropped on the USS Arizona, making the ship explode and sink with more than 1,000 men trapped inside. Half of the casualties from Pearl Harbor came from USS Arizona alone. And there was a 20-minute period in between the first round of attacks and the second. And during this time, sailors were preparing all their anti-aircraft guns in case of a second wave. And it did come at 8:54 a.m. This wave consists of 167 planes, 75 dive bombers, 35 fighters, and 54 high-altitude bombers. But one thing the Japanese didn't hit were our aircraft carriers, which was by total luck because they were off the island for the day. They also left our oil storage deposits, repair shops, and shipyards intact. But in just 2 hours, they had sunk 5 out of 8 battleships, damaged or destroyed 347 planes, and taken thousands of American lives. To fight back, Americans fired between 5,000 and 6,000 shells and around 250,000 machine gun bullets. During the fight, some of these shells hit innocent civilians, and 49 victims would lose their lives during the Pearl Harbor attack.
So that many people died, Americans, just by the hand of other Americans?
Literally.
Okay.
Just from the shooting.
Just because they were just shooting in the sky?
Yeah, just attacking. There was bullets that hit a car, and it was full of people, and the whole car just exploded. And
so,
just people just driving, you know, about their day.
So the people, so were these people even on, like, part of the military on the base? Or these are just, like, random Hawaiians?
Yeah. Just people that live in Hawaii. Yeah. Whenever I found that out as well, I was just like, I really didn't have anything to say. I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. So 49 victims would lose their lives during Pearl Harbor. And out of the 16,000 that the Japanese brought, 129 of them would die. Rescue operations continued throughout the day and into the night. Many soldiers died from being trapped inside ships, and when they jumped into the water was on fire from the oil, so they would die from literally jumping in the water as well.
The oil from the boats?
Yeah. Yeah, where the ships were exploding, mm-hmm. There was just gas and oil and everything there. The hospitals were not at all equipped for this atrocity that had occurred. They were running out of beds and supplies. When news of the attack hit the mainland, Americans were beyond horrified and furious. Within 24 hours, President Roosevelt signs a declaration of war against Japan and gives his famous speech that says, "Pearl Harbor is a day that will live in infamy." The attack had taken nearly 2,400 American lives and injured another 1,000. People began running to the polls to fight for America. 30 days after the attack, 134,000 men had enlisted. Less than a week after Pearl Harbor, Germany declared war on the United States, bringing us full into World War II. In what I consider one of America's lowest points, the treatment of Japanese Americans after Pearl Harbor was absolutely horrific. 120,000 people were incarcerated in camps for literally being Japanese, and they were kept there until the end of World War II, just for being Japanese. Or having Japanese descent. They could have been born in America for generations. Oh, it doesn't matter. You look Japanese, we're sending you to a camp.
In America?
Yes. Pearl Harbor might have seemed like a success at first, but Japan highly underestimated the United States. By 1942, they began restoring the Pacific Fleet. And by 1945, Japan would surrender in the Second World War. Today, if you were to go visit Pearl Harbor, you would see the wreckage of the USS Arizona, which became a symbol of the attack. And only a handful of Pearl Harbor survivors remain today, but even after 80 years later, they remain heroes.
Is that the end?
Yeah, that's it. So if you would like to say anything, if you have any questions, we can discuss Pearl Harbor. Oh, she looks overwhelmed.
No, yeah. I'm not overwhelmed. Okay, I took notes while you were talking.
Okay. So that I saw that you were a little quiet, so I was wondering, yeah. I was like, am I boring you, or are you too interested that you don't know what to say?
No, I took some notes.
Okay.
About the parts that I thought were interesting.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay. I think one of the things that you said that was interesting was that, well, that a lot of things caught on fire.
Yeah.
And that they also happened to not mess with the oil storage. Because could you imagine?
And you know that's
I'm not laughing. No, like, no, it's funny. Truly, I'm laughing because that, like, would be just insane. Horrendous. It's and already you horrendous. You know it's
by total accident. If they could, they would.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And thank God they didn't, because I can't imagine. It's already a monstrosity.
Also, there being, like, two rounds of attack, so it's like, oh, I'm safe. That's over. That was horrendous. And then seeing it about to unfold again. Like, surviving the first round and then not surviving the second.
Is it not? It's just insane. But what I love about that is the sailors instantly were like, hell no, we're gearing up for another round of attacks because we know how this shit works. And they literally, Japan did not do as well on the second round of attacks because we had our sailors literally just bombarding them with anything to get these ships down and to just...
True. Just however,
end it. And then that leads us to the facts.
You said they sent 16,000 Japanese... Only 129 Japanese died.
So we can probably call this a win for the Japanese, yes, for the day.
Also, 134,000 men enlisting, I don't think, was the goal of the attack from Japan.
The goal for the attack for Japan, here's the thing. So Japan did not think America was going to react the way we did. They thought, what they were hoping for the goal here was, oh, America can see what we can bring. Maybe they will cower back a little bit. America saw what they can bring and said, we're going to bring in a million times harder. Hell to the no. That's what I like about this story, because it's like, you know, why did you think you could come do that? We're supplying 80% of your oil supply. Your economy's going to crash.
Would you like to talk about the U.S. version of concentration camps?
No, because I'm extremely embarrassed, ashamed, and horrified.
And I've never heard of this until just now.
Are you serious? They taught me this in school.
You were taught in school that...
Mm-hmm.
I was not.
It was probably because you had white men teaching you history that they want to...
Well, so did you.
Well, yeah, but I had a woman history teacher, but and she liked to mention stuff like that.
Yeah, I did not know that we just kept anyone of Japanese descent in some concentration camps. Essentially,
yes. And it's, whenever I said it was one of the lowest moments in American history, I said one of.
Yeah.
But, because there's quite a few. So, what do we think? Do we think Pearl Harbor? I think it was a good day for the Japanese day one, and then by day two, I think it was regret, regret, regret.
Yeah. I don't think they were expecting what?
Then, what we brought.
Yeah, I don't think they were expecting us to enter the war and to have that many men enlist. And it almost just brought America closer together and encouraged them to join the war.
Well, thank you so much, Summer, for joining me again. And maybe I'll just have you on the show next week and the next after that. But we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see what comes in the next couple weeks.
Well, I enjoyed listening. And I have fun learning all this new information, because I did not know. Like, obviously, I've heard Pearl Harbor, but...
Oh, yeah. Now you and hopefully all my thousands, hundred million, thousand billions of listeners, yep, that I have, mm-hmm, in my dreams that I'll have very soon, because you all have to go tell your friends, enemies, lovers, haters, motivators, whatever you know, speak to on the daily. Tell your bank teller. I don't care. I just need y'all to tell these people about this amazing podcast you listen to. And, I have new merch. Yeah, we have mugs for the show. We're about to have some new updates. New merch is going to be coming out soon. And stay tuned on my Facebook. I'll be having a giveaway come out soon as well. So I just want to let y'all know, thank you so much for listening and making this show possible, making my dreams come true. Thank you. My name's Rachel Payton. This is the Chronicles of Time, and you just listened to Pearl Harbor.